Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church on this, what, end of daylight savings time? Is that right? Or are we starting daylight savings time?
Starting.
I want to thank Ben Franklin for it, for having me all messed up. I couldn't even get my dog to get up this morning. He literally would not get up. But it is better on me. When I was in seminary, going to school full time, I pastored a church. I went to school in Kentucky and pastored a church in Illinois on the weekend, Eastern and Central time zone. So you're talking about every weekend, and then you throw the daylight savings time, and you know how discombobulated I am just on a daily basis. So you can imagine what the people had to put up with. I want to talk about the Bible series for just a minute. I don't know if I'm jumping ahead. Do we have the three bells? Do we do all that? Okay. I hope you've all been able to see the Bible series. It started last Sunday. The night is the second night. Starts at 8. It also plays on Tuesday night on Lifetime. Someone had called me and told me that it was on. I believe it plays again on Wednesday night on the History Channel. And I heard a comment. Someone said that the first one was very violent. Well, if you've ever read the Bible, you know it's violent. Even creation itself was violent. If you've ever seen Days of Our Lives, it's violent. So I hope you'll watch it, overlook some of those things. The second thing I heard was a lot of commercials. Well, there was more commercials than I had anticipated. So I decided just I would mute them and I would keep my eyes open, but I would pray during that time and try to stay in the spirit and then click it back, you know, off of mute when it came on. A lot of people are recording it and watching it the next night or, you know, during the week at their convenience. So I hope that you won't let those things spoil it or ruin it, because the Bible is the greatest story ever told. It is telling you the story of your salvation. And this was God's plan for humanity. Whether we like the way that it happened or not, this is the way that it came about. So I hope that you will watch it, you read the book. Bill Mueller started his class this morning, class number one. They will not have it on Easter morning. My class starts Wednesday at my home at 7 o'clock. I've handed out a few books. Cheryl needs to get a book. We got one left for her. She's at the back. I need to get her a book. Bill's got one for you, Sherry. So I want to make sure everyone has a book. If you wanted one or ordered one, Bill should, we ordered some extras. Now people, they're giving me $10. If I collect too much money, because I don't like collecting money to begin with, and I'll add it all up, I'll show it to Bill in his class, and then what I'm going to do is write a check if there's overage back into either local mission or general mission. I'll ask somebody what they think is best, because sometimes I do end up with a little bit more money than I anticipated, and I don't like that, and I'm certainly not going to keep it, so I'll put it back into the church coffers. So I just wanted you to know that. You can read most of these announcements this morning since I'm taking up extra time, but I want to make some extra announcements. I was talking to BJ this morning, and I want to try to start talking about what we can do for the youth of our church. We don't have a lot in service, but we need to start building up our youth programs. They're having junior church. We're talking about having maybe a training session in April or sometime to help with some new junior church teachers. Talking about maybe the possibility of trying to send kids to camp, just throwing some things out. Maybe a family night once a month. We might have a meal together and break up into small groups, trying to fit people's schedules instead of trying to make them just fit into our schedule. So I'm asking you to be praying about it, thinking about what we might can do. We're in that kind of period right now where we don't have older kids. We got a certain spectrum of kids in certain ages. So be in prayer about it, because prayer does work. The session is meeting today after church as we go over policies and procedures, and we'll have a meal. We're having the Lay Sunday, April the 7th. Several people have signed up. There's a sheet on the back, and I hope that you will do so. And you can see about ordering Easter flowers and paying your per capita. And the annual congregation meeting will be held on Sunday, March 17th. Preliminary reports are ready for your review on the back table in the narthex. And I believe that's it, except the March Madness Food Challenge. I brought some food down yesterday, so I know it's a little less than 88 pounds now, but keep bringing that food. They're trying to make, 188 pounds of food for the food bank in it, and I really appreciate that. There's a lot of hungry people out there. So if you take your red pad, sign it with your name, address, that type of information. And if you're not getting any emails from me about church business and you'd like to, it means I don't have your email, or either I got it loaded incorrectly. So I'd appreciate it. I found out I've got one that's wrong in my notebook, address book. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise for this morning is number 2, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for the stories of faith in Scripture. We are inspired to learn about the thread of salvation that the Bible contains. We are so grateful that you have provided for our eternal life. Forgive us when we fail to follow your Son's example. Remind us that we all have decisions to make that affect our lives. Help us to always choose freedom over slavery. May we come to fully comprehend that sin hurts us, our families, and friends. Show us that we always have a choice and that the situation is never hopeless. You always have the power to set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together this morning here at Glenshaw Valley as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ,
his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived
by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet one another and just remind you there are some hand sanitizers around the church. I don't know if you're thinking the same thoughts as me. I kept thinking as I went down to Glenshaw Valley to pray. Responsive reading is Salvation by Grace 659. Kathy promised she wouldn't read in my spot this morning. You had to be here last week. See, when you miss a Sunday, you just don't know what happens. Salvation by Grace, 659. From his fullness have we all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man or woman should boast. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. Time I'll call the elder up to present the prayer requests.
Good morning. This morning we have several prayer requests. Bev Ruby has asked for a prayer for Debbie Wiggins in praise that her radiation has been complete. Tuesday she also had a total knee replacement and she was home by Thursday evening. So thanks for prayers and concerns. Mary has a number of prayer concerns this morning. Dale Lambensfield has cancer. We pray for him. John Tabus also is struggling with cancer. And Mary Slover is having minor surgery on Wednesday. We ask for prayer for her. Connie Wagner has asked for prayer for Jean, who is recovering from surgery. And Kathy Segi has asked for prayer for her brother Al, hoping that he finds a job soon, that he is laid off currently. In addition to those prayers, there are a number of confidential prayers, so we ask that you just remember your fellow members and pray for the needs that they choose to share directly with the Lord, as well as the prayer concerns listed in our bulletin.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer and lead you into the Lord's Prayer also, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God that can free us from our sins, free us from the bondage of those sins that hold us back from a closer relationship with you. First, you can free us from sin and give us the promise of eternal life through Jesus and the debt that he paid for all of us upon the cross at Calvary. Then, after our salvation, you can free us from sins, addictions, by us drawing closer to you and asking for your help and forgiveness. Doesn't mean we've lost our salvation, but we may have lost a closeness with you. We thank you that you are always there through the power of your Holy Spirit to help us, through the Word of God, to guide us and encourage us. remind us to take some time in personal reflection, to read, to study, but also just to sit quietly and listen for you to speak to our hearts, our spirits. Thank you for all the good things that you've done for us. Sometimes we don't even recognize that it is you ministering to us. So we take this time today to say thank you. Thank you for healing us in body and spirit and soul, for helping heal our relationships, our angers, our addictions, our unforgiveness, anything that may be in our lives, Lord. Help us to be the men and women, boys and girls that you have called us to be. Help us to be graceful and merciful and loving and kind. Help us to take the fruits of the Spirit into our lives. Help us to be more like Jesus. We know this is not easy. The world entangles us with sin. Captures our imagination with the things of the world. Help us look beyond that to your glory. And we lift up all these situations, these names, and we remind you of them, even though we know that you already know. But we want to bring them to the forefront and ask that their needs are met. And ask that our needs are met according to your will. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us, for loving us. And we pray also for our church that you help us to grow in spirit and truth and numbers. Programs that we should have for our adults, for our youth. Guide us in all things. We ask that people are touched as they watch the Bible series. People's lives are changed. Help change our lives. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, screen song, Your Grace is Enough. That's what it's all about. offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love, your grace, and it is enough for us. Thank you for freeing us from the sins that entangle us with this world and hold us back with a closer relationship with you. And continue to do so and help us draw closer to you. And thank you for the gifts that you give us, the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us fight the sins that would weigh us down. And thank you for the gifts that help us build up the church, not our church, but yours and your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the monies that come, for those who are willing to give up their time to teach and to cook meals and to write cards and telephone calls and give rides and just say kind words to other people. All the things that help us be what you want us to be, Lord. Bless these people this day. Let them feel your love. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. How many people think we should have a guest preacher on Daylight Savings Time Day? I do. Oh, mercy. If I couldn't laugh at myself, I'd spend a lot of time crying. Nearly every family has a set of beloved stories they tell over and over. It may be how Grandpa and Grandma came to this country with $5 in their pocket, or an ancestor who fought in a famous battle like Gettysburg. It may be the story of romance, or a child's birth, or a moment of accomplishment. In some ways, the stories we remember and tell shape us. They explain where we've come from, and they shed light on who we are. They guide our steps as we move forward in this life. That is one of the reasons the Bible is so important to us, or should be, because it is the story of all of us from the first words of Genesis to the very last words of the book of Revelation. That is why we're retelling some of these stories with the help of the epic made for television miniseries appropriately called The Bible. It started airing last Sunday on the History Channel, and it will continue tonight and through Easter Sunday evening. And I really encourage all of you to watch it, TiVo it, record it, however you want to watch it. But I think it's very impressive. The Bible miniseries represents the past variety and sweeping scope of the Bible's stories as a unified whole and a consistent theme. It is those stories and their messages that are occupying our attention in the Sunday morning sermons and the small group discussions during these weeks of Lent leading up to Easter. We will follow some of the most inspiring and powerful Bible stories featured in these series. And in my Sunday morning message, I'll share a short video clip from the Bible miniseries to help us visualize and experience the story. My prayer is at the end of this 30-day experience series, you will see these stories from the Bible like you've never seen them before. Gain a better appreciation for God's redemptive plan for humanity through Jesus Christ, and experience greater insight into God's love for you. And the story focused on today is the story of Rahab. A story almost hidden away in the first chapters of the sixth book of the Bible, the book of Joshua. But in many ways, it is also my story. It is also your story. And it's as current as the morning's headlines or last night's news. But in order to fully appreciate Rahab's story, we must fully understand the backstory, which involves the Exodus, the deliverance of God's people from slavery in Egypt, because as today's story begins, the background is this. God's people had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, led through the Red Sea, and had wandered in the Sinai wilderness for 40 years. There they had received God's law and coalesced as a nation, but they were still nomads. Their deliverance was not yet complete, and the promised land was not yet theirs. In order for that to happen, they had to conquer the most heavily fortified city in the entire land. One of the last few clips, lines in the clip, "You've passed over," is a reference to the Exodus 40 years earlier that God's people had since celebrated every year in the Passover. It is a recognition that something like this is happening again for Rahab and her family, as recorded in the first chapters of the book of Joshua. And as I've said, that story is not just Rahab's story, it is yours and mine too, at least in several ways. And the first is this: my story starts out sad. As we look in Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. 'Go look over the land,' he said, 'especially Jericho.' So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, 'Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.' So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: 'Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land.'" Now, Jericho was a brilliant strategic choice. It is the world's oldest known fortified city. It was considered impregnable. You couldn't get in those walls. Its defeat would have made headlines and would have struck fear into the hearts of all around. The reasoning would be, if Jericho could be defeated, the rest of us do not have a choice. But Rahab, on the other hand, seemed like a strange choice. She is referred to as a prostitute in the biblical account. And this is not an auspicious start to her story. It may have been understandable from a spy's viewpoint. Two men entering her house may not have excited much suspicion. And the location of a house on the city wall may have made escape a little bit easier. But still, she was a prostitute. How would you like that to be your autobiography? And how would you like for it to start with those words? How would you like for your story to be preserved forever with those words? Well, guess what? It kinda does. Not just your story, mine too. All of us. Dress it up however you would like, and every human story begins, maybe not as a prostitute, but as a sinner of one kind or another. The Bible says in Romans 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let me give you a quick Greek lesson, something I don't do very often. You know what the Greek word for all means in that verse? It means all. Little trick there. Amazing, isn't it? All have sinned. Not just some, but every one of us, no matter how good we think we are, how good you think your grandmother, grandparents are, some saint that you think of as saintly, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And bad as that is, it gets worse. Jesus said in John 8, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Your sin may seem more respectable than mine, but it is still sin and is still slavery according to Jesus. And that's a sad story, but it's not the whole story. Because there's another way in which her story is true of you and me, and that story is from Joshua 2, chapter 4, chapter 4 through 14. "But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know that they had come from.' At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, but you may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Shinar and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, and brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives. The men assured her, if you don't tell what you are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. Now, it's easy to read a story like this without fully appreciating it. So let's not do that. Let's take a minute to put ourselves in Rahab's shoes. She faced a tough decision in her life. She could have turned away the spies. She could have turned them in. She didn't have to help them. Safe choice would have probably been to stay out of the line of fire. But given a choice, she took the side of the Lord. She chose the Lord's side. And I wonder if something was operating in Rahab too. I wonder if the status quo felt like status no to her. I wonder if she was ready to be somewhere else. I wonder if she was ready to be someone else. Maybe like some of us here today. Maybe there's someone for whom the status quo feels more like the status no. Maybe there's someone here's ready to be somewhere else, to be someone else. Maybe there's someone who is ready to be set free. Do you know our God is a God who specializes in setting captives free? Remember Joseph's story, the kid, brother who was sold into slavery in Egypt? God not only got him out of slavery, out of prison, he made Joseph prime minister of the whole land of Egypt, the second most powerful man in the most powerful nation in the world. Remember the story of Joseph's ancestors in Egypt? They became enslaved by the Egyptians until God sent a man named Moses who led them out of slavery. Remember the story of Israel in the time of the judges? Year after year, generation after generation, they strayed from God and his ways and were repeatedly oppressed and enslaved by a succession of different nations attacking them. And repeatedly, God sent leaders, judges they were called in the Bible, to deliver them. Our God is a God who sets captives free, shatters our bond. He delivers us from our sins. But he will not do so without our consent, without our asking for his help and deliverance. Like Rahab, each of us faces a decision in our lives. Like Rahab, each of us faces that decision. Not just that one decision, but decisions every day of our lives. Sin or salvation? Slavery or freedom? If you haven't done so, I hope today is the day when you will say no to the status quo. I hope there is somebody here today who is ready to be somewhere else, to be someone else, to be the Christian man or woman, boy or girl that God has truly called you to be. I hope there is someone here who is truly ready to be set free from the sin that entangles you. Because if there is, then one more part of Rahab's story will become your story too. My story is marked by a scarlet cord. Rahab's story is the story of a prostitute who faced a choice. She had to choose one side or the other. Sin or salvation. Slavery or freedom. So look at Joshua chapter 2 verses 15 through 21. So she led them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us, unless when we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into the house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on your own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what you are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied, "let it be as you say." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in her window. A scarlet cord, red like blood, hanging outside the city wall. And of course, you know how the story ends. Israel marched around and surrounded the city for 6 days, one time. Then on the seventh day, which normally would be a day of rest, they marched around the city 7 times and blew the horn, and then the walls began to crumble. And the army marched in. Joshua 6. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed it with sword, every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out, and all who belong to her, in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she had hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Rahab the prostitute, and yet she was saved by a choice, by a scarlet cord hung outside the window. She not only found a place of acceptance among the people, she found something to me that is even more amazing. She became the great-grandmother of King David. Amazing. And it is through the lineage of King David that we have Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Through Rahab, King David, and Jesus Christ, our Messiah. I think that's quite a story. From prostitute to the progenitor of Jesus Christ, our Lord. All from a sinner and a scarlet cord hung outside the city wall. That is my story and yours too, if you will let it be. In Galatians 4 it says, "When the time arrived and was set by God the Father, God sent His Son, born among us of a woman, born under conditions of the law, so that He might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law." Kidnapped by the law. "Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage." In other words, under Jesus Christ, grace came in, did away with the law. So no matter how bad you think you are, and some of you think you're too bad to really be saved, to really enter into heaven. No matter how hopeless you think your situation is right now, entangled by sin, entangled by addictions that are holding you back from being the person that you need to be in this life and that God wants you to be, no matter, you can be made acceptable in the sight, because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through His own blood. So that scarlet cord hanging outside the window, red, is a symbol taking us into the New Testament of Jesus being sacrificed outside the city walls. the cord of redemption going throughout the scriptures. But the choice is yours. Freedom is in front of you. God will not make you stop sinning. He will not make you become the person that He has called you to be. It is your choice to be that person. Freedom is in front of you. There's a choice that you and only you alone can make. Your parents can't make it for you. Your spouse cannot make it for you. Your preacher cannot make it for you. Your nation cannot make it for you. Only you can make that choice to be a Christian and make that choice to rise and be the person God has called you to be free from the sins, from the addictions, from whatever it is that holds you back from being all that God has called you to be. If you would, bow in a word of prayer with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for suffering outside the city walls at Calvary, for shedding your blood to secure our salvation. We confess our sins and we turn to you. We claim your sacrifice on the cross as payment for all the wrong things that we have done. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus. Please help us, each one, to live that freedom by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for saving us from sin day by day and moment by moment. Thank you for delivering us from the sin that so easily entangles us and freeing us from the habits and the addictions that drag us down and bind us up in ways that are contrary to your will for us. Help us to live our rightful heritage as children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, 574, If My People's Hearts Are Humbled. Prepare to lead this sanctuary today. I hope you feel God's love and salvation. I hope that you feel free from the sins that have entangled you in the past. If not, I hope that you will go to God in prayer and ask Him to free you, and you'll do whatever is necessary to free yourself from those sins. from that bondage, from those addictions, whatever it is. You know your life. You know what holds you back from being the person that you need to be. Go from here in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.